Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Black Spin Global. I am your host, Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And yeah, Eugene, how are you?
I'm good, Lucy. How are you? Tired though, but I'm good.
Listen, good. Eugene was out here in these streets, you know, partying and stuff, you know what I mean? Just popping bottles and shit.
No, so not as heavy as you during this Jubilee weekend, but we won't go there.
Listen, I was shaking my ass. I sure did. I shake so much ass. I was like, that's it. I'm done shaking my ass for a couple months. Like,
I'm good now. No, fair play, man. But no, thank you again as well, because I must say Lucy was the one that came up with this show rundown. So again, coming in, saving the day. Much appreciated.
I'm stepping up.
No, like, listen, always. But yeah, I think we should just get into it. So obviously we've had the French Open.
Oh no, wait, hold on, Eugene. Remember I said that every episode I'm going to show what I'm drinking. So today, drinking a breakfast smoothie, protein breakfast smoothie from Bulk. But yeah, this is what I'm drinking today. Giving me extra protein, low calories, because as much as shaking ass is fun, I gotta burn. That
takes a lot of energy.
Bro, listen, because the issue is when I'm drinking so much, I'm then going back home to ordering McDonald's and junk food, and then okay. Do you get what I mean? So yeah, so that's what I'm drinking today. No, not that anyone ask or care, but now I'm sharing it.
I'm sure Bulk would be very pleased with that, like a little.
Listen, Bulk needs to pay me. Do you know how many times that I've actually converted some people looking for proteins at Bulk? If you are watching this, holler at your girl. Believe me,
maybe got some cells. Maybe tag
them
in the show.
I'm gonna tag them. I'm gonna be like, yo, give me my money. Do you know how many times I literally told people to go and buy Bulk? Like, it's actually insane. Like, come on, guys. At least free stuff. Something. Give me something.
Mad. Okay. So I'm glad we cleared that up. So yeah, if you get into French Open, why we're here. It's like our French Open review pod. Yeah, it's a review because it's happened. So
yes.
Obviously, Nadal won on the men's side, which will talk about later on, and Iga Świątek, one on the women's side, but we had my pick in the final, Coco Gauff.
You did.
Thank you.
I have to give it to you. You really, you said it. You were like, you know what, Coco, and I was like, you know, all right, cool. Fair. Like you did well.
I really thought she was gonna do it as well, because like everything just lined up, like in terms.
No,
of,
yeah. She had a
I'm saying me personally, like in terms of like how I was off this weekend, just gone basically, and like also I work a lot of weekends, so I was like, this just feels like it's meant to be. Like I'm meant to I'm literally meant to watch Coco win her first Grand Slam, like in her first Grand Slam final, like. But yeah, man. Obviously, we'll talk more in detail like about her run and stuff. But
yeah,
how did you find the tournament? Like overall, like just yeah, as a Grand Slam.
This is the first, I don't even know if I'm even allowed to say this, but this is the first French Open in a while where it was actually really hard for me to catch up on the matches, mainly because I was really busy with work. And a lot of times the matches were during like meetings and everything. That's what I was saying earlier about the European tours. As much as great in terms of time, it's shit because of work.
So that's why
the clash is crazy, but it was kind of difficult, but I still try my best. But overall, it's just the usual. I do feel like, because it's weird, because the draws were not too crazy, I think the excitement was not that high. I feel like
you say that the first round, which we'll talk about in
before,
a minute, like,
no, yeah, but before,
okay,
but then after, I feel like the quality of the matches actually got better, and I feel like the earlier rounds, the quality of the matches were actually better than towards the end. Like even the Novak against Nadal match, it really was like, it wasn't all that at all, in my opinion anyways. But a lot of my favorite matches are like the ones from like the first week compared to the second week.
Yeah, no, that's a fair assessment. I think like I do think though, the first round we had obviously, we'll talk about that a bit now, like Naomi Osaka and Amanda Nisimova, like first round, which is obviously a repeat of the Australian Open. I think it was the third round. So, and yeah, that there was a lot of excitement and like anticipation leading into that match.
Yeah, I remember I was saying that that was the one match where people were really excited about.
Exactly, yeah. And obviously Osaka, she lost it, but it was, I thought it was a pretty good match. Like, they started off fairly evenly matched, but then, yeah, Anissa Mova just kind of, well, she took over. And it wasn't like a massive surprise. She won in straight sets in the end. But yeah, what did you make of, like, yeah, Osaka's performance and, like, yeah, just that match overall?
My expectations were, do you know what, I had a little bit more faith, I'm not gonna lie, which normally I'm a pessimist. A lot of times I'm like, I love this, but I don't think this is gonna go out. Like, I'm just like that.
Okay.
But if you remember the last part, I was literally saying, like, you know what, because she's so competitive, she might actually be able to, you know, bag this. Yeah. But then when you look at everything, she has not been playing that much during clay. She was injured. Like, she pulled out, what was it, Madrid or Rome? One of them. Yeah. I think it was Rome.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, clay is not something that she... But I think deep down, she really did want to, like, make some improvements. I think she at least wanted to win, to bag, like, a couple rounds. I don't think she had, like, crazy high expectations, because she always says to herself, like, she doesn't like to put high expectations on herself and stuff. So I think that, I don't know. At the beginning, it was tight. At the beginning, I thought, okay, yeah, shit, she might win. But then Amanda came out of nowhere with hella smoke. And then, yeah. But it was a good match. I feel like for a first round, it was good. I feel like she did try her best for, again, for a surface. That's not really, you know, a thing. But I really think very soon, Osaka will definitely up her game on clay.
Yeah, no, I agree. I wasn't really expecting much, like, from her, like, at the French Open this year.
Mm.
So I wasn't exactly, like, yeah, completely surprised by the result, pretty much. But I thought her comments afterwards, but in her, like, yeah, post-match press, she spoke about, yeah, just kind of where she's at in terms of, well, Wimbledon, because that was like a big topic of discussion. And I didn't really like the reporting, like, of, like, her answer, because she was basically asked, oh, like, are you going to play Wimbledon this year, obviously with the whole ranking points thing. And she didn't exactly say no, she just said, like, probably not, which wasn't like a definitive yes or no. So she was quite honest. I don't have the actual quotes, like, in front of me, but she just basically said, like, she's the type of player that's motivated by seeing her ranking, like, go up.
Yeah.
Which is, like, literally every player on the tour.
Especially that right now she's not ranked properly.
Exactly. Like, where ranked she
highly,
be.
Sorry.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a very honest, like, answer to give. But, like, obviously tennis Twitter, like, certain fractions of tennis Twitter.
And, like, funny enough, she's the only one who got really cut out of it. Coincidence?
Is it a
coincidence, guys?
Other players were, like, more definitive in, like, their answer, saying, yeah, I'm not playing. Like, and they're not as, like,
it's not even that. There was literally some players who were kind of saying, the maddest thing is that she never even said, I'm not playing.
Exactly.
And even if she said, I'm not playing, so what's your problem?
Exactly.
I thought you don't like her. I thought you don't want her to win. So when she's not playing, you're complaining. When she's playing, you're complaining. Like, you niggas are really, like, you know, like, it's ridiculous, because there were some hating ass heifers out here that were really, really going hard. I'm not going to mention who, but it was a lot. There were some haters out there, some retired haters.
Oh, stop it. There. Stop it. So, stop it.
I'm just saying, but she even noticed.
Oh, yeah. No. We're going to bring that up. Definitely. Because, and again, I think everyone's going to know, like, who we're talking about. So you're talking about Piers Morgan and Martina.
First of all, we all know Martina is a professional hater. Like, after being a professional tennis player, in fact, professional haters first, and then she's a professional tennis player. That's been her, especially since she's been gone. My thing is that, again, goes back to my point of, like, everyone's been having mixed feelings about this. Yeah. But even Osaka, she even knew that people were chatting. That's why she even said, like, yo, I'm really on you people's, like, mind, like, rent free. Like, it's actually scary. And that's what it goes back to what I said last episode. Chaos. You see, if players chatted this shit and were scaring some of these motherfuckers, sometimes you have to scare these hoes. Because when you scare these hoes, people don't talk. So she even got a little bit, like, I know Osaka's burner account, yeah, if she has one, I'm assuming she does, it's crazy. I bet she's talking her shit, but unfortunately, I know why she isn't, I get it. But deep down, I literally even said it myself, I tweeted it, I was like, I really wish this girl chose violence. Sometimes it's necessary.
To be honest,
because people are doing too much.
Like you said, she was posting a few, like, subliminals on Twitter. Like, so
she was.
It's like,
and I think it's starting. She's starting to get to a point where she's like, all right, you guys need to shut the fuck up.
Osaka,
I'm telling you, go full on blow, because these people will not stop. Like, everyone was talking, and she made a right point. It's like, listen, I'm not ranked, like, if she was, like, ranked, like, top 10, top 5, I can even understand a little bit why people are upset. But she's not ranked, like, the highest right now. And it's like, yo, I need points. I need to win. I need to get back to where it is. And
just being honest,
ATP,
like,
and WTA has taken that away from us. And at the same time, the masters, I understand, I need to figure out what the hell I'm doing. I'm not sure, but it does feel like an exhibition. And everyone is like, oh, Wimbledon, you can't be saying that. We get that Wimbledon is the highest. Remember, I said that a lot of players, that might only be the reason why they're playing, because it's Wimbledon. But you need to understand where the players are coming from. Like, 100%. I see both sides, but
yeah,
I need the haters, Martina, to stop fucking hating.
Yeah, I was disappointed with Martina, actually, because
disappointed. I'm always... Why are you shocked?
Well, because
I told you.
I don't mind her, to be honest. I've always, like, kind of liked her, but I also thought she basically fell into the trap that Piers Morgan set. And yeah, I thought, yeah, that was kind of poor on her part, to be fair.
Yeah, because he does not like our girl.
That's what I'm saying. He's a
but she's a grown ass woman at the end of the day.
Facts, yeah. Period. So, but anyway, moving on. Taylor Townsend, our girl.
Mm-hmm.
So she lost in the first round in singles. So she lost to Caroline Garcia, the home favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it was a pretty good match, like straight sets, but I'd say quite high quality on mm-hmm. Taylor Townsend's part, considering that's her first match back, like, on, well, the main tour. But yeah, she had a fantastic run in the doubles with Madison Keys. So there you go, mm-hmm. they got all the way to the semifinals.
Yeah.
And then lost to the eventual finalists, well, runners up even, Jessica Pegula and Coco Gauff, which we'll again talk about later on. But yeah, like, how great was it to see Taylor, man, like, just back out there? Like, fantastic.
Yeah, that Garcia match, she was really trying. I feel like she was trying to figure out, like, what to do and everything. Yeah. But again, that was, like you said, the first match back. So I didn't, like, think of, like, anything, you know, crazy, like, this Grand Slam, and you're playing against a French player. So, you know, when people, like, the home favorites, they have this crazy boost, because
yeah.
I thought motivation. Maybe it would, yeah, I thought maybe it would be a little bit still sticky for Garcia, maybe because Garcia has literally, you know, I said it before, like, she's really gone, like, kind of down in terms of singles, obviously, because doubles, you know, she did well. But yeah, man, I mean, we keep going. That's literally all, like, we can say. Like, we just keep going. And at least she did really well in doubles. Like,
I love that partnership. And I'm going to hold my hands up. I didn't really watch much of the doubles, like, just because obviously time. But it was really nice to see. Like,
I watched a few, not all.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I watched a few, and they work really well together. Honestly, they work really, really well together. I think I watched the one, I can't remember which one I watched.
Probably this, not the semi-final between Gauff and Pegula.
It wasn't, no. Beside the same, because there was one match I watched, it was really tight, I can't remember. But when I was watching it, I was like, no, there was two matches before the semi-finals, one that I've watched.
Okay.
And when I was watching it, I was like, okay, yeah, they're actually really good
serious
together.
Team. Yeah.
Even one match you played against Asia Mohammed and whoever she was paired up with, I can't remember.
Shabara, I think. Japanese
something
girl.
Like that. And I wonder if Asia looking at her like, Ross, so like, what? When are we back together?
No, I think it's all love.
No, definitely. Because as she said, her and Keys are, like, really good friends and everything and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah.
I love
Asia as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I love the camaraderie, like, between them all, like, in terms of the posts, like, afterwards, like, just showing love. Like, everyone's just happy for each other.
And shout out to Asia for showing us love. She's always showing us love on the posts and the IG story. So that's a little side comment. So thank you.
Of course.
Really appreciate it.
Always. But yeah, man, like, just so happy to see Townsend back. And, like, we've said that before, like, obviously on the last pod, we were very excited to see her, like, compete again. So yeah, she should be very proud of her efforts. And, like, obviously we wish her the best of luck as well, like, for the season going forward.
Yeah.
back to the singles. So Sloane Stephens, she had a very good run. So she got all the way to the quarterfinals. Like, fantastic effort on her part. Like,
really and good. It,
you mentioned in terms of like in the last pod, you spoke a lot about like her form, like coming into the French and like how clay is her best surface. So like, well, yeah, were you surprised? I take it you probably weren't that surprised to see her like, yeah, get to the second week.
No, remember the last pod, I also said the reason why I was stuck is because usually clay season, like if before clay season, she's not doing well. Once clay season starts, she's doing well.
It clicks.
This year, I was stuck because before French Open, those other tournaments, she wasn't doing as good.
Yeah.
So I remember literally saying, like, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not too sure, but I won't be surprised if she does well. I did not expect second week. I'm not going to lie, though.
Oh, really?
Mainly, not because I didn't think she's incapable of doing it, but only because clay season didn't start really well for her. And it was the first time for me seeing, you know, Stevens during clay not doing as good before French Open.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I do feel like, but I do know French Open, she definitely has this different type of smoke, which is what I said. I was like, that's why I was stuck. I didn't know. It's a bit weird. Like, Clayson, she didn't do well, but French Open, she's like a different human. Like, she's not even well. So I was really glad to see that, you know, she did really well. She was, the crowd was rooting for her.
Yeah, she loves Paris. Yeah, she does.
She just loves clay. And I'm just hoping, you know, next clay we can push through the second week into another final and bag that trophy.
What did you make of the quarterfinal between her and Coco? That was very special.
That was, but do you know what? But who did I have to win that match? I think I had Coco.
Yeah, I think our followers.
A lot of people, our followers, on our poll. Yeah, a lot of people did vote for Coco.
Because don't forget, Sloane beat her at the US Open last year. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I think that was second round. And that was
something like that, yeah.
I want to say straight sets too. So, but then Coco on clay, like, clay is probably Coco's best surface at the moment. Like,
100%. So, last year, like, she had great performers. This year's the same thing again. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's obvious. That's her thing.
So, and I don't know in terms of like the occasion. I don't know. It'd be good to maybe ask them both as well. But I think whenever two Americans play each other, there's always like added pressure, like on
pressure.
Both
sides. Yeah, 100%. 100%. That's a good question. Yeah, 100%.
Like, I just think the anticipation going into
and
the
then
match,
on top of that, they're black, so people are easily comparing them to other top black American players.
This is it. Yeah, but again, I love the love like between them, like at the end, like the hug. And
do you know what? I think Stevens don't get enough props for like rooting for a lot of
true.
Like,
I love her nickname for Coco, Cocofina. I love that. So cute.
I feel she's a very, what's it called? I feel like in general, she's very supportive, but I feel like you can definitely
like
see.
Big sis.
Yeah, and you can see that black love into it. Like, do you get what I mean? Like, she's always like, whenever the black players are doing well, especially like the women as well, like Coco and stuff, she's always like, you know, like saying, and I think because she has the experience of it as well.
Exactly.
And I think that's another reason why people like Stevens like to protect Coco, especially like Stevens, very much aware of the shit that she has been through before she won her slam, during when she won her slam, afterwards as well.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have that positive, you know, type of vibe and everything. But yeah, it was nice seeing two black players competing, you know, in a different surface, in a different country. It's not US Open, it's nowhere in America, it's literally all the way like clay and crazy ass Paris, and it was a good match, but Coco was 100% like playing like crazy.
Oh man,
to be honest,
it was beautiful, like beautiful.
That performance was really good.
Just before we get onto Coco, I think we should mention Keys as well, because like she did pretty well getting to the fourth round, 22nd seed, got through her matches like I'd say with relative ease, like, and was just, but she was playing really good tennis. And I she beat Garcia too, which is like revenge. Revenge for Townsend.
Revenge. Thank you.
Straight sets. But the match I was really impressed with Keys, and obviously we won't spend too much time talking about it, but was the third round against Rybakina, who was the 16th seed. So, okay. Yeah, because she came back from a set down to win that. Which was like a really good, like, just a hard fought victory. And then obviously she lost in the following round. But Keys, she can be very proud of her like 2 weeks in Paris. Obviously getting to the semi-final with Taylor Townsend in the doubles. So yeah, really good to see that. And I think it will stand her in good stead as well going into the grass. So yeah, just very excited.
I don't know if she's playing any grass tournament.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she'll probably play Birmingham, hopefully.
Probably. I don't think she's thinking it on, but because niggas can't be wasting time. Birmingham is next week.
Which we'll talk about in a bit. But let's get into Coco now.
Yes.
Grand Slam runner-up. Man.
Crazy.
So it's like where to start. Crazy. Like her run, just seamless. Didn't drop a set. En route to the final.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said, just coming with like a different type of smoke, like throughout the whole 2 weeks.
Yep.
Just looked so confident. Like obviously she graduated as well, which you spoke about in the previous pod, like literally the day before the event even started. And yeah, she's just shining, man. Like it's just so beautiful.
Listen. We need first. No. We need to go back.
Come on, let's go back.
Give the accolades. Okay. Boom.
Come.
She didn't drop a single set till the final.
Mad.
She even bageled two players on the way, Mertens and Marino. Also the youngest player to reach a Grand Slam final. Or is it French Open Grand Slam final 2004?
Yeah, I want to say
one Grand of Slam. Them, anyways. Grand, it Grand doesn't Slam matter. Final. Grand Slam final. Yeah. Yeah, right. Oh, she also beat an RG finalist on the way. And she also graduated, and she was in the singles and doubles finals.
Mad.
Like, I am so sorry. Do you know how many wins that is? That is literally like true. 20 wins, like in one. Like, it's not. I feel like when you actually sit down, when I was writing it down, I was just like,
it's a lot.
This is actually crazy. This is really crazy. So, I am so proud. I am so happy. She's only 18. And I think now the girls are going to be shook. So
100%. Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people were giving her a bit of, in general anyways, a lot of people were giving her a bit of like they were shaking the table a bit about her continuously saying, you know what, this is just a tennis match. I don't want this to go like all crazy. So people kept saying, like, you know, she has to come aggressive, And in my head, I'm thinking, first of all, if she came actually aggressive, we know how that would have went. That's number one. Number two, just because she's saying just a tennis match doesn't mean on court she's not going to come as aggressive. The only day she didn't come too aggressive was the finals, which makes sense because to me, I just feel like it was just the nerves.
Very overwhelming, 100%.
She's playing against someone who literally won the same Grand Slam 2 years ago.
And the world number one on a ridiculous win streak. Like, it's just...
world number one there you go. I think Iga only dropped one set on her way there as well. She was very hard to beat, or she only had one match where it was difficult for her. I can't remember which match it was, which I watched. Remember who against?
And she has the Chinese girl.
That's it.
Yeah.
That Chinese girl is actually.
She's hard. 19.
I need to keep an eye on her.
Yeah, she's
really fucking good. I know this is not. Nah, I was like, wait, who is this? Hold on, let me. I know this is Black Spin, but I need to give her a shout out. I'm not gonna lie.
She's tough. Kinwen, I think.
That's
Kinwen.
It.
Yeah.
Something like that, but boy, she really got like Iga was like, hold on, King Zheng Wang. I don't know. Yeah, apologies, not pronounced it right, but shout out to you. You gave us a good match there, and also back to Coco, she had a lot of pressure, which she even said. Like I think I saw a tweet about how she was like, you know, expressing how like for so long like people have been onto me. So when she's saying that and then she's telling you, hey, it's just a tennis match, you need to use your brain cells and put the two and two together. That's her basically saying, I don't want to put too much pressure on myself and I want to take care of my mental health. Rightfully so. But she's done a brilliant job. Like she was whooping these girls' asses anyhow. Yeah. Like, she did fucking well, man. But you can tell the finals that she was just really nervous. She wanted to win. She wanted it really bad. But listen, Coco will win that slam, boy.
No, she's winning more. She's going to be multiple
winning,
finals.
She's winning multiple. Like, yeah. She's going to be in multiple finals. Going to be like, literally, when you look at all the young players right now around her age, she's literally the best one.
She is. I mean, and also, too, and I do want to go back a bit. So the semi-final against Trevisan, like, she didn't even play her best tennis. But yeah, it was like, so it was, not, I wouldn't say effortless, but it was just a very comfortable victory considering the semi-final of a Grand Slam. And then obviously the, what she did afterwards, which I think we should also talk about, the, when she signed the camera lens about peace and, you know, end gun violence, like,
yeah,
an 18-year-old, like, basically using her platform to, we all know, like, in terms of gun violence in America and like gun laws in America are ridiculous, and like the kind of recent like massacres that have happened in America. So, and she explained it afterwards how, like, yeah, it's close to home and it's something she feels like quite passionate about.
Of course, because just recently the people that were killed by it, they were kids, bro.
Exactly.
So I definitely understand.
So yeah, like all that, we need to just, I'm just always amazed and like forever, like, just inspired is not the right word, but just I'm in awe of her considering she's 18 and like she's just so well-rounded. I think again we also should shout out her parents because
they've done
like an amazing job,
big time
raising like a young superstar, like
facts,
she's just so grounded, like just an all-round good person. And that's something she said as well, like, before I'm a tennis player, like I'm a good person, like as long as she's a good person, like she's good.
Yeah,
and I thought again that was a really powerful thing to say for someone at 18 years of age, like just to be that kind of well-rounded already. But yeah, man, like, I'm always impressed and like will forever be impressed with Coco. I felt so sorry for her after the final, because obviously, yeah, like she was emotional and like, you know, rightly so. So yeah, I just wanted to give her a hug like as soon as the final was done, because obviously she was, you know, quite emotional. And like, yeah, like I thought her speech again was brilliant too, considering obviously she's just played the biggest match of her life. But yeah, she was just very composed and like just incredibly professional. And yeah, it's just beautiful to see, man. Like her parents in the box, her two brothers as well. I think they flew down like before the final.
Yeah, her box was full compared to usual.
Yeah, yeah. So it was very nice to see that. And like you said, like she's going to be in many more finals to come.
100%.
And like, it's only a matter of time until she wins one. Like, yeah.
I feel like the moment she wins one, I've been saying it, the second she wins one, that is it.
Oh, it's a wrap.
That is honestly it. But all you haters that were here talking about my girl being overrated, I asked them, I knocked on the door. Kong, 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 Kong. Where are you? You guys were doing essays, tweets, articles about how my girl is so overrated.
Man.
I don't want to hear the word overrated anymore when it comes to Coco.
She's literally, she's on the
very
verge.
Long time.
On the verge of breaking into the top 10.
Proved herself so many times. There are some players that you guys love to root for, hasn't won shit for a really long time around her age.
Stop it.
But it's Coco that you're disturbing. But now it has to stop. Like, stop, she's it. Shown many times that, you know, she's trying to just focus on the sport and everything. And she's really, really out here trying her best. I don't want to hear the word overrated with Coco Gauff.
And like, again, just testament to her as well, and we've said this before, like one thing about her, she's going to play her doubles, so again seeing her like in the doubles final, like, wasn't a massive surprise. That's her second Grand Slam doubles,
yeah, because she was US like, Open last exactly, year McNally was it
exactly yeah. her regular doubles partner. But her and Jessica Pegula, they're a team,
they're
like,
really
they are
good
a proper
team
force.
Yeah,
so it's like I think we'll be seeing a lot more of that like going forward.
Hey, the American girls, they did well this tournament, so shout out to them.
Properly represented. And like, yeah, just on the ranking. So I think she's number 5 now in the doubles ranking.
Doubles
and 13 in singles, which is a career high. So again, that ranking's only going up. And like one thing about her as well, like it's been a I don't want to say slow and steady, because that doesn't really give it enough credit. But yeah, it hasn't been like an immediate, like overnight thing. It's been it's a steady like progression. And I think that's going to be the best.
A normal progression. This is the thing. Well.
But Lucy, the thing is, what is normal? Because we're kind of judging, not even judging, but comparing to like Emma Raducanu, for instance. And like that was overnight. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
And I don't like, not to cut you, but I don't like the, I think Emma Raducanu gets a lot of crap in terms of like people that don't know tennis, and even some, you know, so-called knowledgeable tennis heads, still kind of, I think they put unrealistic expectations on Raducanu. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about her, but yeah, she's a valid Grand Slam champion. She won that on like merit. She beat players to win that title. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like unheard of, and like you can call it whatever you want, a fairy tale. But like, I hate the word fluke and like things that suggest that like she was lucky. Obviously, you know, sport and luck.
To be honest, I think the reason why people go on about Emma, it goes back again to people just saying the craziest thing and then doing the comparisons. And then, like I always said, like, unfortunately, the stands and some of the, you know, journalists, they might be saying stuff that then puts people in their head thinking. That's why I even had to say to myself, Lucy, you don't have an issue with Emma. You have an issue with those who are comparing her to just the craziest shit, or like even putting, I remember I even said when she won, I was like, be ready. She's going to have crazy pressure, especially with the British press. I literally said it. So that's why I don't have anything towards her. The one thing I like about Emma is that she's a fighter. Like she's been hustling and working. The only thing, obviously I'll have my pros and cons with every single player, but I mainly have an issue with everyone talking as if, like, I'm not saying she hasn't done anything great, but, you know, rightfully so, we still need to see more. Like, there's so many of these tournaments where she probably never played, or it was her first time.
It's her first time on tour, exactly. It's her first.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
And people are not realizing that. But it goes back to what you were saying. Some people who have zero knowledge about tennis, and even some people have knowledge about tennis, who are just saying people just talk a lot of shit.
100%. And to bring it back to Coco, like, I'm just saying, like, in terms of people having this, like, these crazy expectations of her.
Yeah, because obviously, and that's why they were calling her overrated.
This is what I'm saying. She beat Venus that was her breakthrough in terms of Wimbledon when she was 15. And like, it was like, oh my God, she's going to win Wimbledon. Like, relax. She's a teenager. She's a kid, bro. Like, chill. And like I said, she's basically made steady steps year on year, winning tournaments, improving on different surfaces, like improving her game. And obviously, there are still things to improve, like the second service.
Listen, even these GOATs that they like to compare to, they might have won some Grand Slams at her age, but it took them a long time to still get there. People 100%. Just look at the age and be like, oh, she won it at 18, so why can't Coco do it? But they don't even look at deep down and realize that, oh, actually, it took them this long, or they had to do this. And it's two different people. Like,
that's exactly it. Everybody has their own individual journey.
Everyone has their own journey. And her journey has been really great. Like, it's not like she's flopping. Like, last year, she had a great season. And this year, she's having another great season. She's doing really well compared to a lot of older players. So,
straight up.
And also, the numbers don't lie anyway. She's 13 right now. You know what I mean? The numbers don't lie. Check the stats, honey. Check the stats.
I do want to shout, because obviously she did lose the doubles final. And that, like you said, against Kiki Mendelovic and Caroline Garcia. And again, I loved what Kiki said during her speech. Obviously, she, you know, congratulated both Pegula and Coco, but because don't forget, Pegula got to the quarterfinals as well.
Yeah.
Singles. So they both had long, you know, long weeks in both singles and doubles. But yeah, Kiki singled out Coco and said, Coco, like, you're 18 years old and you're leaving Roland Garros with two trophies, like, respect. And I love that. I absolutely love that. Mm-hmm. And she was like, hey, like, congratulations to you and your family, like, because obviously you guys are just doing an amazing job, and like continue basically. So I did like that moment. But yeah, man, Coco Gauff, like, take a bow. You are the real winner of this French Open. Not Iga Świątek. I'm sorry. I'm joking, but no. But of course, shout out to Iga too. Because, like, yeah, what's that? 35 or 36 wins? I don't even know. But yeah.
Something like that. Like, listen, I'm not going to lie. As much as I prefer it to be my faves, the one winning, it is nice seeing, you know, women tennis
actually, one like, thing I'm going to say though, actually, sorry, Lucy, the final didn't like the delays in between points with Ego.
Okay, so this is the thing.
Wasn't feeling it, and she was doing that a lot early on.
She
was doing it because she knew it was throwing Coco off.
She, do you know what? I'm not disagreeing what you're saying.
Okay.
It did piss me off myself because I even tweeted on my personal thing.
Okay.
The only reason why I didn't want to say too much is because I didn't want people to think that I'm using that as an excuse as to why Iga is winning, because Iga was still playing.
Oh, of course. Very amazing. Well. Yeah.
So we just want to clarify that we're not dismissing Iga's skills and everything that she's done on that court. Mm-hmm. But she did take the piss with the break.
Thank you.
A lot of times that she was like, whenever she was touching that her stupid shoes, that I was really getting pissed off. I was like, girl, there's nothing wrong with your laces. Like, get along with it. And you Coco clocked. She was pissed.
Yeah, because she even like looked clocked. To the umpire a couple of times. Like, to say,
like, are you not gonna say anything? Like, what's going on? Every single time she has to, like, why is she, you know? And that's why I saw someone tweet who like said that they need to decide whose timing is it based on when people are serving. Is it a server's time or is it the opponent's time? Do you get what I mean? And I think that will help with clarification because everyone's just out here just taking a piss. Mm. But
that's the only thing like I wasn't feeling. Like apart from that, yeah, like you said, 100%.
And a lot of people, that's the thing, it's not even just us. A lot of people clocked it. Coco clocked it. That wasn't really nice, Igor. Mm.
Fix up. Anyway, onto the men's side. We should have really started with Songa, you know, because Joe Wilfried, his last ever French Open, he had Casper Ruud in the first round. Obviously, Casper Ruud being the eventual runner-up, but what a moment that was! Like, I don't want to spend too much time because obviously we've spoken a lot about, you know, the women's side, and rightly so, but. Yeah, Joe Wilfried, the send-off he got at the end was incredible. Seeing his parents come on and like all the players.
Shout out to RG. I'm giving them a salute. I did not think they would pull off a good farewell because Roland Garros is Roland Garros.
Yeah. I would have liked though to see more players in terms of like, you know, the video that they had. Like I think they had Novak and Rafa.
Oh yeah.
And Federer too. I would have liked to have seen like some women.
And
like
Andy.
Venus,
and Andy.
Serena and Andy, of course. But I would have liked to have seen some women too. Like, so I think they maybe missed the boat.
This is Roland Garros.
Yeah, which...
The French. This is not even about Roland Garros. This is the French people. As in, women do not exist in their head. Like, I'm not surprised personally. Honestly,
You say that there was controversy with the whole like scheduling in terms of like women's matches and stuff.
How long has that been going? How many times have we complained about it? They love to and the craziest thing is, who's the director?
Exactly, Emily.
A woman, but I'm not there anymore, so it's fine. From working after my experience of working in a French company.
Okay.
whether there is
this is like fuck them French, fuck the French,
fuck them niggas. Now that I've had experience of working in a French company, the one thing I've noticed is that the women who are higher up literally don't give two fucks about the other women.
Really,
like,
interesting.
They don't know because they had to work hard to get to where they are. So they feel like, well, I don't want another woman to come in. I'm here now. Instead of actually opening the doors, they actually close it and make it harder.
Mad. Wow. Okay. So fair
not
play.
Too surprised, but they need to fix that up. But that's an issue that we've been having with them for so long. I don't know what is going to take for them to finally do something about it.
Yeah. But back to Joe Wilfried, like the send off, like you said, was incredible. And I also thought like the comparison, because did you see Gilles Simon? He also retired. Well, that was also his last French Open.
Yeah. It was just, the difference was so funny. Sorry.
But then obviously they're from the same like generation, but yes, Songa's been more successful.
But it shows his success and his legacy compared to facts.
And like to think that Joe Wilfried hasn't even won a Grand Slam, but yet the impact he's had on the game, like it's mad. It's so mad. So shouts out to him. Again, I liked what he said as well, like in his kind of like I guess speech afterwards. Just acknowledging the fact that he's a Frenchman. He also said he's a black man. He's a white man too. Obviously, his mom's white. Dad is from Congo. So acknowledging that and like just, it's just a very relatable.
It's always been labeled and stuff as well.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm saying just in terms of like his upbringing and like, yeah, his background, he's very relatable on like many different like sides. So it was nice to kind of hear him like acknowledge that basically.
Mm-hmm. I just felt like it was so crazy how towards the end of the match he was hurt.
Yeah, like, typical. Yeah.
And it's like, it just shows that, yeah, it's really time.
Yeah, it's true.
But that was so emotive. Like, I was just like, oh my God. Oh, I don't know, yeah. That last, like, I did not think, and a lot of people were saying it, like, bro, I did not think I would be this emotional and stuff. Like, he was proper crying during, like, his last serve and stuff. So,
yeah. And what he did at the end as well, like, basically kissing. I think he put his head on the clay.
On the finger, yeah, on the clay. And I was
like, it was mad. It was very mad. But shouts out to him. Because again, Casper Ruud, eventual fight, well, runner up. It was a 4-set match, I think. So nearly took him to five sets. Mm-hmm. So a nice way to go out. And like,
because it was tight. Like, it was good. That's the thing. The match was it wasn't like a shitty, boring match.
It was, exactly.
It was a very good match. He was really, really close, but unfortunately he wasn't, I can't remember if it was his leg or something like that was hurting.
And yeah.
He just couldn't continue anymore.
But yeah, man, shout out to
Jim. And he refused to retire. So that was a good thing as well. He pushed through.
True story. And yeah, before we get on to the other men, so we should also shout out Mikel Emmer. So, but coming into the French, he was struggling for form. Like, I don't think he had a match win like since February or something silly. But yeah, he reached the third round, beat two players that were like above him in the rankings, including Dan Evans, who was seeded. And that was a very entertaining match.
He whipped Dan Evans' ass.
That was a very entertaining match. And then obviously he fell to Tsitsipas in the third round. Just always play Tsitsipas at Grand Slams. I'm sick of it. Actually tired.
Do you know what pissed me off the most about that match?
What?
Stefano Tsitsipas, yeah. I remember I tweeted this. I was like, if Steph beats this guy in straight sets, I am pulling out the race card. Everyone before that, he was doing 5 sets. My guy was seeing you, mate. And I was like, So you're seeing the nigga and now you want to play? Oh my God.
Stop it.
I didn't know they were friends like that, because during the speech, like, he was saying how, you know, like, growing up they were playing together or against each other. So
yeah, don't forget during last year's Australian Open, Tsitsipas chose him, as in chose Mikel, to like practice with him in the bubble. Because you remember top players.
Yeah,
we spoke about it, because the top players had like an option to pick a player to like play or train with in the bubble, and Tsitsipas chose Mikel Emmer. So yeah, they've been close. But yeah, just good to see Emmer pick up some wins, and
yeah,
I think that should obviously stand him in good stead as well going into Wimbledon, because he played quite well at Wimbledon last year. So obviously he met Felix. I think it was the second round, I think, last year, but. Yeah, man, good to see him pick up wins. But yeah, on to our guys. Let's start TFO first. So he reached the second round, got his first win at Roland Garros.
He even said finally. Gave himself on his IG. On his IG, he was like, finally.
Long time coming. But no, and he played a French guy, Benjamin Bonzi, in the first round, which I thought was hilarious because obviously the crowd were rooting for Bonzi being French, but they also fuck with TFO too.
Yeah, no, the crowd was loud for TFO as well, it was crazy. Bonzi should literally just be looking at Raw, like,
it's wild.
Then again, it just shows you how crazy the French crowd is.
And this is it, because I think I commented on TFO's post when he was saying, oh yeah, finally. I was like, oh, something along the lines of, oh, the home favourite against the crowd favorite.
I saw that comment.
That's kind of how it felt like. And like, the crowd were happy to see TFO win, because he's Francis TFO. But then obviously he did lose to David Goffin in the second round, which I thought was so tough in terms of getting Goffin, who's unseeded, former top 10 player, like, in the second round. So tough one. I think it was 4 sets in the end. So he went down like fighting, but that's a tough draw to get in the second round. So just happy to see TFO get that win at Roland Garros.
Finally, So definitely give him that boost for next year.
Exactly. But yeah, Felix, OJ Aliassime, man. Man. Again, first win in Paris, getting to the fourth round. So I think it was a Sunday. That was the fourth round match against Rafa, wasn't it?
I believe so. I can't remember what day exactly.
I'm pretty sure it was a Sunday. Where to start with that one? Like, obviously, he's the only player to take Rafa to five sets, which says a hell of a lot.
Even Novak did not even get to do that.
Facts.
I'm telling you guys.
Facts.
I feel, do you know what it is? It's so funny because I really feel like Nadal went in thinking, oh, Felix, small boy. All right, cool. Yeah, this will be quick.
Small boy.
Because, no, because Nadal was rattled when he was on the court. He actually didn't know what to do. Like, he was he was actually, like, confused and annoyed. Like, he was, he was looking annoyed. It was just like.
I know why, though. Uncle, who needs to kick rocks.
I 100%.
Thank you. You see, just very, very, very mad. Like,
no, wasn't
feeling it at all.
That was so bad.
Was not feeling it.
That was so bad. Like, even what he's saying, even if it's true, or even if, you know, Felix agreed and whatnot, you don't fucking say that publicly. Like, are you part of my team? Are you my op?
This is what,
like,
I'm saying.
I'm not trying to
Felix is paying him exactly. And
this is what I'm saying.
It's
since you like your nephew so much, go to your fucking nephew then.
It's
why
ridiculous.
Are you here?
It's like a massive.
But yeah, those comments were just like really honest. And for those who did not hear the comments, basically Tony Nadal was just going on about how he's working with Felix, but he's rooting for his nephew. If they play against each other, he obviously want his nephew to win.
His family.
Yeah, his family and blah blah blah, and how, like, you know, Felix is not capable of like beating Nadal because of the way he is and the way he's playing certain
stuff. Double down, like,
that's what I'm saying.
Stop
talking,
man. Stop talking.
And it goes back to my point: are you part of my team or are you my op? I don't care if and it's not like Nadal is his son; is his fucking nephew, bro. Is your nephew?
Felix needs to get rid. 100%. I'm sorry.
He needs to go.
I think, and it's down to Felix.
You don't want that sort of energy around
exactly.
you. So
it's not.
I really, really hope people who are around Felix are really telling him, bro, you need to look at who the people in your team, because you can't have someone that's working on your team talking about you like that, no matter how much they are related to the opponent. I don't give a fuck if Nadal was his blood son that he even gave birth to. I really do not care. You don't come and disrespect the player that you're at, like, that he's paying you, bro.
Exactly.
Like, your rent is being paid. And one of the reasons why is because of Felix. So stop.
Ridiculous.
So Felix, I hope you get rid of him, honestly.
Well said. I completely agree.
We are very proud of you.
Oh,
honestly,
facts.
Speaking. Like,
facts.
Mate, getting Nadal in general is hard. Getting Nadal at Roland Garros is probably the biggest nightmare. So for him to take him to five sets, and this is his first time winning like a French Open and literally playing so well. Like, if it wasn't Nadal that was playing against, he would have been through. Like,
this
honestly.
Is the thing. Yeah.
Because he was ready, he was prepared, he was playing really well. But honestly, next time you even said it, next time we beat Nadal.
Thank you. man, shouts out to Felix, OJ Aliassime, man. Like, just the continued progress is just beautiful to see. Nadal, we should give him his props. Like, the final was like a bit of a non-event. Straight sets. Was it six love? Was there a six love set in there?
It was a six love set in the last set.
Oh my word. And I like Casper Ruud too. He's a good player, but I mean, you can say the nerves got to him. I wasn't watching the final, but I did watch bits of it. I watched bits of it. Yeah. So I think I watched the first set and it was a bit nervy, I think. But then obviously.
Some people were even saying that it wasn't given even like Grand Slam final quality type of thing.
On both sides.
There's a lot of time. Yeah, on both sides.
Yeah.
On both sides, because Nadal actually has not really been.
This
apparently
could be,
he had to like inject his like.
Exactly, his foot.
His foot.
This could be his last year on tour. This could be his last event.
Do you know what?
That's what people are saying.
I initially thought the people were saying the same. Like, I initially agreed with the people. But after his speech and after that win, I don't think so.
Really?
I think Nadal is way too competitive. Nadal fucking hates losing. And this is his first time. He actually may have a chance to get the calendar slam.
I was going to say, yeah, you mentioned about the calendar. I was like, the calendar slam? What?
He's never had an opportunity to actually win it. Like,
he'll play Wimbledon with the ranking thing?
Nigga is like, what? How is he? He's like top five or top three.
Yeah,
what is he again?
Yeah, I think he's...
That's what I said to you last episode. The rich players and top-ranking players, they don't give a fuck about the Wimbledon thing because it doesn't really affect them. They can afford coming and they've ranked well at the moment, so it's cool. It's only disadvantage to people who are literally lower ranked. They are the one where it's like, is it worth it, me going all the way to bloody Wimbledon for this shit? That's literally the only people.
Interesting. So you think he's going for the calendar slam?
I think maybe now he's like, shit.
Thinking about it. Yeah, I hear you.
We've got something here.
Because it's 22 now, isn't it? As in, that's what he's on, 22.
He's 22. I need him
whoa,
to stop.
Whoa.
And that is why I didn't watch the final, because I was like, I love
really?
You, Nadal, but I don't love you that much.
Wow.
You know what? To me, it's a big thing. No, as much as I'm, as a tennis player, it's great seeing Nadal winning. But I've had to watch for so long, till this day, people dismiss Serena and her legacy and what she's achieved. Some people still don't want to say that she has the most Grand Slam and mentioning that Australian individual all the time. Do you get what I mean? Not even too long ago, Roland Garros, when it was tweeting about who had the most Grand Slam wins, Serena has the most, double even by most of the big three, and they didn't even mention on the tweet. It's like, I don't want her history being removed, because that's what they'll keep on doing. They've done that for years for many Black people.
Like,
so
diminished,
many accomplishments from Black people that we are unaware of. Even till this day, I'm so certain a lot of the things that we have in our house were invented by Black people, but we are not aware of that. So when I have someone taking over Serena's thing, it's painful, because it's like, if at least you guys gave her flowers, rightfully so, then fine. But you're not giving her flowers now. And now you have a white Spanish man coming to take over. That's it. Tennis is already, they love to focus on the big three. If you have one of the big threes taking over that 23.
No, that's
you get
well
what
said.
I mean? So that's why it's not even just me being a Serena fan. It's more
like
just...
It's a bittersweet thing.
It's like... But at the end of the day, we all know she's a GOAT. So it's fine. But in tennis, it's just so hurtful seeing her legacy just slowly being, you know, yet they love using her to prove how great one player is, but they don't want to give her props. It's just fucking annoying. It's irritating. But we also need to have a conversation about the ATP. Why is it that a 36 or 35 year old man with one foot out here winning the fucking Grand Slam? You little boys, wake up.
Chill, man.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because we get a lot of shit about the WTA, but let's talk about the ATP, bro. I need these young niggas to get the fuck up. You niggas are out here young as shit, have hella energy, but you have Uncle Nadal, who's literally out here looking old, losing his hair, one foot.
Listen, relax, man. Allow Nadal in the hair.
No, shout out to Nadal and the head. Listen, I'm not discriminating, but it's just to show to you how much
that shit hit me. That shit hit me here, man. That shit hit me.
No, but you're not getting old. He's getting old.
No, I
hear what I mean. Like,
but we've said this, and I think people know now. Like, yeah, women's tennis is much more exciting. Like,
I'm so sorry. I don't want to hear it. Yeah,
it's been like that for a number.
I'm so sorry, but like. I want to see another. That's why I loved it when Med won. It wasn't even just about, I don't want Novak to think. It was just about, I've always said it, I want to see the new generation doing some shit. Like, I really, you know, like, I'm tired of the fact that.
On that quickly, say, did you see Alcaraz against Zverev? Bit of a surprise, that one. And I don't want to, obviously, Alcaraz is young. So I wasn't like, oh my God, like, it's not the end of the world. But with Zverev, obviously he lost, he retired against Nadal. In that semi-final, and it
Palmer
was,
hit that nigga.
It was wild. And also, I'm gonna. This has been yeah. I thought it was a bit
what
extra. I thought it was a bit extra him coming out, like as in Zverev, when he came out on like the crutches, like and then like waved to the crowd. I thought, bro, you didn't need to do that.
Because Zverev in his head, he's like he thinks like after the big three, like
he's next.
And I'm not saying like he's a good player.
He's solid.
He's a good player, but in terms of like
just not a likable person, pretty much. Like,
not a likable person, rightfully so. Yeah. And also, people actually don't really know about him like that, to be honest.
What do you mean?
In terms of the new gen, I've heard more people like talking about Alcaraz. Funny enough, just yesterday, one of my friends sent me like a video of him doing something. He does not watch tennis with Alcaraz. You hear more people talking about Alcaraz, Tsitsipas. I'm talking about outside of tennis. That's how sometimes I think about the popularity of tennis.
Smart way to gauge it, definitely. Yeah.
So I've definitely seen, in terms of the new gen, I've definitely seen more people talk about Stefanos, Alcaraz. In terms of the men's side, Medvedev a little bit, but not as much. Those are the three, but Zverev, not Zverev a little bit this time because obviously he played against Alcaraz. So I saw a lot of people on my TL who don't watch tennis, who watched obviously the Alcaraz match or saw him about and then mentioned how like, oh yeah, like he's good and stuff.
Yeah.
Or like keep an eye on. But prior to that, it's quiet.
Yeah. And I just on Alcaraz quickly, like I think again, that's where like kind of tennis media and stuff, we need to chill, like in terms of kind of hyping up, you know, these young players coming up, like just let them cook and like do their thing. Like we shouldn't mm-hmm. be heaping like these unrealistic expectations on them like from the jump, like because some people are saying, oh, he's gonna win the French Open, like chill.
But this time, do you know what, I didn't think, obviously I personally did not think he was gonna win the French Open, but I felt like he was gonna go when did further. He lose to quarterfinals, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a quarter, sorry, quarterfinal.
Oh,
yeah,
quarters, okay, yeah. Quarterfinals is still good.
Exactly. So
wait, no, think about quarterfinals because he just won. He won Madrid. That was
exactly
that's an ATP 1000.
A Masters event. Exactly.
He beat two big three, two of the big threes
on clay,
and then reached the on clay, and then reached the quarterfinals. Like I'm sorry,
and he's 19.
Like, yeah, that's like, great.
Yeah, nah, facts.
That's great. He did well.
So yeah, man, that's the French Open. Like good tournament. And like it was very fun, and I was just very proud of Coco doing
this. Yeah, this clay season was quiet though. It wasn't too chaotic.
You think so?
Compared to the usual, the whole clay season, not French, like just French.
Just overall, yeah.
But in terms of black spin, we've had a great time for our players. I'm really proud and happy for the black players. You guys did super fucking well.
Definitely.
Many of you did better than usual. Nearly got some wins, got some second weeks, got
finals.
Some
like,
finals.
Come on.
Got like new ranking. Like, come on. BSG stock.
Going up. And on that note, before we move on to the grass quickly in the end, but I do want to shout out some of the juniors as well. Because Lucy was a bit mad, like there weren't any black boys anyway in the boys singles, which I thought was kind of crazy. But in the girls singles, we had a few. So we had Canada's Victoria Mbuko, 15 years old. She was the 11th seed. She got to the third round, which was a pretty good run. Mm-hmm. And then we had Kenya's Angela Okotoi, remember from Australia, the Kenyan girl.
Yeah, she
got to the second round. And she was also, I don't know if you noticed, she was sitting in Martina Trevisan's like camp during,
okay,
I think it was Trevis. Yeah, I tweeted about it. So maybe go back on Twitter and like have a look if you missed it. But yeah, she got to the second round. She lost the top seed in the second round. And then the 14-year-old French wildcard, Mathilde Njikokali, she also got to the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we had Reina Okoye-Stoiber, the British Ghanaian. Do you remember we spoke about her last year at Wimbledon?
Yeah.
So yeah, she got to I want to say the second round as well. Yeah, she lost to Mbuko in straight sets in that second round. But Yeah, I'm just going to shout them out because obviously they were there and like competing. And also Chelsea Fontenelle, she was also in there as well, the Swiss girl, but she lost in the first round. So just always good to see that. And like, yeah, just these are the kind of names to look out for like in the future. And before we move on to the glass completely, shout out to Dustin Brown, Jamaican.
I was just about to say that, yeah.
Winning his first doubles match or doubles title with Evan King, the American in Germany. I think it was Troisdorf, doubles challenger title.
Let's get them horns, boy.
Yard, man. And they're in Stuttgart this week. So for the Boss Open, which is an ATP 250. So it'd be good to see them, like, yeah, playing on the ATP tour. So look out for Brown and King in the doubles in Stuttgart. So yeah, now onto the grass, Lucy. Like where are we going? I know someone's going Birmingham, someone's going Queens. Huh. What a time. Like, shouts out to the LTA as well for coming through. Because yeah.
They have to come through. It's Blackspin Global.
Thank you. Like, I was thinking, like, basically we need to start saying we are a black tennis media company, because that's what we are now. Like, yeah. Do you get me? So
basically, yeah. Basically, but to clarify, guys, we got a media accreditation.
Exactly.
Some of the grass tournaments in the UK.
Very, so very wild.
We are going to Queens and Birmingham, and we're waiting for Rotterdam, which we should be going to. Unfortunately, not both of us can go to the same stuff.
Yeah, it's like
so
one.
Eugene is going to Queens. I'm going to Birmingham. And I've actually decided I'm going to vlog. So we're going to have like extras. It's going to be the first Blackspin Global vlog. So I'm going to need you, Eugene, to sometime put your camera on and, you know, take some videos.
Oh, my word. The pressure, of course. Of course.
Just make sure your camera's like this. And just film around it and send
landscape,
me the video.
Okay.
That's like, yes, okay. Like little by little, we'll go through it. But
figure it out.
But this is crazy because last year we got like an invite to the finals for Rotterdam.
No, it was Eastbourne.
We got an invitation for Eastbourne for like the last round.
Yeah, that week, the finals weekend, yeah.
Yeah, the finals weekend, that's
it. We podded from there, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And this time it's different. We literally
full
have
access,
like
proper media,
and I'm just there like
we need to hit up Tamani and ask him, what do you do, man?
I am calling Tamani and be like, all right, you need to give me a full-on guide, especially as a black person. What the hell do I do and do not do?
No, you're gonna be fine, man. You're gonna be
I'm personally
fine.
Nervous. I've said it to Eugene. I'm personally nervous.
You're gonna be fine.
Eugene is not gonna be there. I don't know, like, you know what it is.
You
so
are gonna be fine, so chill.
But it's a great thing. We're gonna get to see Steve. Well, I'm gonna get to see Stevens. You're going to see Tiafo, Felix, and
I think it's no, just Tiafo and Gael Monfils. Felix isn't playing Queens.
Okay, because he's in Germany right now.
Yeah, no, he's in Holland.
That's
the Netherlands, yeah. So
Yeah, that's it. Okay. So really looking forward.
Very excited, man. Like, I can't wait. And obviously, yeah, like Lucy said, we're going to bring you like coverage and like content like from there. So yeah, just stay tuned. And, like, yeah, we'll keep you posted basically while we're there. But just it's just a really exciting time. And like considering, like Lucy said, where we were like last year, like.
Yeah, it's just crazy Eastbourne. How much we've grown, man.
But exactly, like now we're like literally being recognized as like a media like outlet, which is wild. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, yeah, I this is what I've seen like for the platform. So obviously I'm very happy and proud, but at the same time, like, I kind of expect this, basically, like, not to sound arrogant. Let me stop. But yeah,
no,
man,
I can't wait.
You said you're worried about the weather. I mean, we're in England, so the weather's always going to be an issue, so we just have to deal with it.
No,
I'm
but
sorry.
The last two summers, what the fuck
is
going on?
It's been
on?
Wild. It's been
Listen,
wild.
Boris Johnson and this weather machine, fix it up. I will have another wet grass season, okay? I literally already added Birmingham on my weather thing, and I'm checking it like every minute, like hoping it will change because
No, it'll be good. We'll be okay. Before we end though, just quickly, you got here as well. We saw the Wimbledon entry list. So certain players were missing from it. In terms of on the women's side anyway, being Venus and Serena Williams. What were you saying? I'm not that surprised. I'm just gonna be anything. Really.
I am. Serena, if this is the end, just let me know so I can just, you know, get that closure.
Just
let me know. Just let me know. Just let us know. Even though she said that she will not let us know she retired, but right now it's taking too long. Okay, you need to let us know. You know,
I thought she was like teasing things, like in terms of her being on court.
But what did I tell you? That's what she will do, just to calm people down, because everyone was. We don't give a fuck up where Patrick is going. If Patrick is going somewhere, I need to also know, what are you doing, Serena? Yeah. I don't give a fuck about Patrick and his players. I give a fuck about Serena Williams. So she only said that, in my opinion, she said that to just calm us down, which a real Serena fan is not going to change anything, because it's like, girl, we know you, you know. But some fans were saying it. They were saying that they don't think she's going to be there.
Yeah, this is it.
I had a little bit of hope because she kept on telling us, I'm going to be there. But she is not going to be there. Looks like I feel like if she was going to be there, she would have been in London by now.
Interesting, yeah.
Or soon. Or maybe she just doesn't know. I don't know, Serena, but she doesn't fucking know. I miss you. Like, I want you to play. And I just want to close it. I just want to know, is it a thing where she just feels like she's done? I think she's enjoying her life, and rightfully so, but it's just that, you know,
yeah, closure. We need it, Serena. Like, let us know, man. And Venus is out here on YouTube being a YouTuber.
She's out here doing her reels with, that's what I'm saying. I feel like they're really just enjoying their lives now, and it's nice to see. But as a tennis fan, it's like, can you also
get back on the court, man, please?
Like, and play, like, I love you getting your bag. I love you, you know, enjoying life, but go to that court, please.
I think that's a nice way to end it. So Venus and Serena, let us know what you're doing, please. I beg. We just want to know. We need like some clarity and like clarification. So yeah, that would be nice. But yeah, Lucy, man, like let's wrap up there. What an episode, and what a French Open.
Indeed. I have to go back to work now because we're doing my lunch break.
Appreciate you as always. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening. And obviously this week, like, we're on the grass, it's on to grass now. So yeah, we'll be posting and keeping you updated with everything going on. I think just off the top of my head, we just mentioned Setogenbosch, it's called. Felix is a second seed, so he gets a first round bye.
Top players.
On the women's side, I think Nottingham, we've got interest in Nottingham. Heather Watson, she's playing Nottingham this week, and she could potentially play Emma Raducanu in the second round, so that's something to maybe look out for. But yeah, I think she's in first round action today, Monday, as we record this. So yeah, but like I said, we'll keep you posted on the socials, so yeah, stay locked on to that. And yeah, thank you guys for listening, and we look forward to the grass court season, which is well and truly here now. So take care, guys.